Blog Talk Radio.
Quiet-eyed. Apparently, we are on, but the Blog Talk page says we are not working. Jordan is in the host queue waiting for me to connect with him. Unfortunately, it's just me talking with no soundboard. I know it's working because I can hear myself on my cell phone. He used to call me on my cell phone. Yeah.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
This is John Sullivan.
It's Babs Ayegbusi.
Michael Thompson talking.
It's the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Jay DeRosa.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer Tommaso Ciampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
Welcome to Sportscast Radio.
You know, we're finally working. I think so. Hey! Hooray! This is I feel like this week's going to be a roller coaster of shows. Standing eight count got off to an extremely rocky start. WrestleCast was fantastic, I felt. And now we've run into hiccups on this show. So let's hope pop cultures have a better job, better luck tomorrow. But we are back live, Sportscast Radio. We are on the high of highs. There is no low of lows, Jordan. Jordan, you had a fantastic day today, didn't you?
I was riding pretty high, yes, sir.
Do you want to gloat? Do you want to brag to these wonderful people about how great of a day you had?
No.
Nah. You guys don't get the satisfaction. It's a lot of very small topics in sports this week. So we don't have a docket. We don't have a script. We don't have an outline. We're just going to talk to you for like an hour. just shoot the breeze. I got a text from Jen right off the bat. She just now saw and realized that the Cubs signed Yu Darvish. I'll ask you this right off the bat. Is it starting to get annoying that the Minnesota Twins were going to pay more money than the Cubs were, but they refused to give him the sixth year and he would have took less to come here? Like, is it starting to get to the point where this is just getting old as a Twins fan?
Starting. Like, this isn't a new point for the Twins. They've always under-offered on what can potentially be, we'll say, you know, we were a playoff team last year, but, like, you read the articles and news, and you're like, well, why don't you give them if you're going to give them the more money, then give them the more money. The sixth year is the difference maker for them. If you give them the money that balances it out, you give them the extra what? $20 million, I think it's been like, come on.
Yeah. The fact you can pair him up with Jose Berrios and Irvin Santana with a very good 1-2-3 punch.
Yeah.
Just do it. I mean, I understand some people go, I don't know if I wanted 6 years on Darvish. Why not? What are you scared of? He's 31. Okay, you have him into his 37s. You know, he's 37. Big deal. If it really doesn't work, you know, some team that's making a playoff push in July, we'll trade you for him. So just do it. We saw Justin Verlander move, and he's old. Or, well, I should say a huge contract. But, like, it just doesn't make sense, and it's frustrating. And it's starting to just become, you know, people wonder why I'm such a Dodger fan. Because they try to win. They go for it. Ever since 2012, this team has gone for it with Magic Johnson at the helm. The Twins don't. I mean, yes, if Terry Ryan was there, we probably would have never even engaged talks with you, Darvish. So I give the new GM and team credit, but just do it, dude.
My thing is we signed Michael Pineda for $10 million, and we're granted it's $2 million the first year and $8 million the second, but we're probably not even going to see him this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Like, I think it's in my head. I'm just like, what's the message that you're sending? You're saying, you know, our pitching staff is set in 2019? I mean, I don't get it. I get a little frustrated. I get a lot of frustrated because I'm the guy that they should be going after. I want to be a baseball fan. I also want a team that I want to. Oh, this guy's so young. He's going to be so good one of these days. Or, you know, I'm tired of being that guy. Like, you know, look at our guys in our farm system. Well, I'm not games at the farm system. You know, sitting in that Metro dump to coach games at the tar field and talk about the guys that aren't there. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frustrating when you...
I'm bitter.
No, it's good. I like it. I love the rants. It's frustrating when you go to the stadium and you always see the stars on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. It never changes with this team. And I just, oh my God, it's so damn frustrating. Just do it. And like, to, you know, Elijah brought up the point, well, or Alex, one of them brought up the point about, well, they didn't make money or whatever because no one goes to the games. No, this was the highest grossing year in Twins history was last year. The year before when they won 59 games was the second highest grossing year in Twins history. So they're doing just fine.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, remember you and I discussed it last year too, is when they didn't make any moves. They said, oh, this, you know, and the team started playing well. You know what's going to happen? More people are going to go to those games. You know what they're going to do? Not spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's, you're not going to, fans, Twins fans are good fans. I can openly admit that. That might be the second best fan base we have behind the Wild in terms of when they win, they're there. When they lose, they're there. I mean, the Wild still draw 18,000 when they lose. But these Twins fans slowly but surely are going to not want to be a part of it. You know, you can only hang on for so long of remembering 87 and 91. You know what I mean? Like, it's been 26 years. And I understand that, yes, it's been 26 years and maybe 10 teams have won a title in those 26 years, 10, 12 teams, whatever the odd number is. So I get not everybody's winning. But, I mean, we've only gotten out of the first round once. We've only gotten to the CS once. And that was because we beat the Moneyball team when I think Justin Morneau was the MVP that year. It's just like, You got to do something. And
was it,
you know,
was it your Jason Morneau won the home run derby?
I think Justin Morneau won it that year.
But remember that guy handing him the trophy, called him Jay Morneau.
Oh my gosh, that's right. that just shows how bad it is.
Was it Hamilton? Not Hamilton. Yeah, was it Hamilton going? Yahtzee, like 27 homers or something like that. Like,
yeah, it was the big Angels resurgence of Justin Hamilton.
Yeah,
and then he got that huge payday.
Oh my God,
it just sucks, man. It sucks watching all these guys. Now, you know, Lynn's still a free agent. I think Alex Cobb is still a free agent. Jake Arrieta is still a free agent now. Darvish is gone, but you know what? You better restore faith and go get one of those guys, because you got your fan base drooling to the point that you were one of the final four teams, presumably the final two with the Cubs for Darvish, and you failed. And it's different when, you know, as Lakers fans, it sucks when we, you know, only reason LaMarcus Aldridge gave us a second meeting 2-3 years ago was to save face because of how bad our presentation was in the meeting. Yeah, it sucks, but we can afford to not get those guys. Ah, we lost that one. The Twins are not a team that can go, oh, shucks, we lost that one, because we don't win those ones.
No.
We don't win the guys. You know, I really had hoped that when the Wild signed Parisian Suter and got the two biggest free agents on the market that year, that that a team like the Twins would see, huh, maybe we should try that. You know, football, you really don't see that because everything's so goofy. And, you know, basketball, we were just never a destination for it. You know, the Jimmy Butler thing's cool now, and, you know, the rest have got out of drafts and trades. But, you know, the Wild seize the moment. I understand it hasn't won us a cup like everyone thought it was going to give us a chance to, but they went for it. The Twins don't go for it. They don't try for they don't go for the big fish. They're perfectly fine, you know, getting the little guppies and whatnot in the side of the lake. You know, they don't go to the ocean. They're in a pond. And it sucks. It really sucks. Oh.
Well,
let's just keep it back. That was a
positive,
depressing,
right?
Start. Okay. I was gonna flip it your way, but I'll go to a positive, and I'll go to a positive because this is a team that we have near and dear to us. We talk about a lot. Ryan Russillo was on the Ringer, Bill Simmons podcast, and they brought up the resurgence of how well Cleveland played, slapping the Celtics. Jordan Clarkson doesn't miss a shot. Larry Nance is posterizing people, you know, and they beat the Thunder tonight. They scored another 120. excuse me. And they were talking about, you know, LeBron James next year, you know, is this all blah, 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 you know, going to do enough to keep LeBron, or is that going to do enough for LeBron to want to stay? And Bill Simmons, who's pretty dang smart at what he does. I mean, there's a reason that ESPN let him go, because they couldn't afford him. They couldn't afford to re-sign him, or, you know, didn't want to pay him. And he goes, HBO gives him a show. Really? I love Bill Simmons. I love it. I love him for the fact that he's willing to make those bold statements and like predictions, but he's not a douchebag like Colin Cowherd or Skip Bayless or Jason Whitlock or Michael Caine. That's the other guy I hate.
Is Michael Caine the guy that played Alfred in the Dark Knight series?
what did you say last time I said how bad I hated him? Was that the guy who was on Lois and Clark?
I love Michael Caine.
Man, he was good in that movie with Morgan Freeman where they went and robbed a bank. The old timer, whatever it was.
I liked him in Miss Congeniality.
Sandra Bullock.
How to be a beauty queen. She's a little rough around the edges, but God bless her.
She pulled through.
She's a trooper. Benjamin Bratt was in that movie.
But it's, you know, so I understand the, you know, why there's a good, you know, love hate with Bill Simmons, and I respect that. Not everyone's gonna like any of these guys. Everyone knows that, you know, I like Simmons. I'm a diehard Max Kellerman guy. Not a lot of people like Kellerman.
Yeah.
They think he's too brash. Whatever. Sorry that he says the truth.
I can't wait for the day that somebody says they don't like us.
Oh man, it probably happens every 5 minutes we're talking.
Oh man!
Somebody just closed their browser. Like, these suck. Except for what was his name? Steven in Virginia. That dude likes us. He likes us, and he likes Bailey's booty.
Yeah,
that is.
booty.
But you know, he's like he said. You know, to Russillo, and Ryan Russillo is another great NBA mind. I don't think that's anything that people don't know, and. He said, I think people are overanalyzing this. And I think everyone needs to stop and realize that it's right in front of our face. Nobody is willing to just accept it though. Nobody wants to go out and say it because they don't want to be that person, but it's extremely obvious. and it's things that we pointed out. KCP, you know, Clutch Sports, Maverick Carter, and you know, Chris Paul, LeBron James's his agency. They dropped the ball having. Well, you should have. David Stern's a T-plot. But man, we would have had a ring that year, dude. Him, Dwight, Kobe. Ugh.
I'm kind of glad okay. It didn't happen, so Dwight didn't get one.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather Kobe didn't get six, so Dwight got zero. That's so true. that's so petty, but I don't even give a damn.
Petty wop.
But so Simmons is like, look, when they dropped the ball having KCP opt out because I thought he was going to get a bigger deal, everybody ran out of money, and the Lakers bailed him out and made him look good by giving him, you know, $19 million for a year. They saved face for Clutch Sports. Maverick Carter and them, Rich Paul, that's why I was thinking of Chris Paul, and they're moving Clutch Sports to L.A. LeBron has now bought his second mansion in L.A. His kids go to school in L.A. All this stuff is literally right in front of our face. And I know I joke about it all the time with you, but I think he's, you know, is he right? Like, is it a lot more obvious than we're willing to say it is? Or is 7, 8, 9 different things that all continue to involve him moving this to LA and moving that to LA and moving his family to LA and buying a new house in LA and LA covering up for his client who they botched? I mean, is this just 7, 8, 9 different coincidences, or are we just literally not paying attention or not wanting to admit it?
I don't know. I feel like to avoid, I mean, obviously the Lakers already have enough scrutiny on them when it comes to transactions anyway. They want to avoid the obvious, I guess, is what it is. So they have to throw breadcrumbs in other directions, you know, be it either be it via possible media leaks, I would say, or you know, intentional media leaks at the same time. I think it'll happen, but at the same time, I don't know. He's also been saying the right things. You know, I thought I was really impressed when LeBron came out that interview and said, you know what, I'm not going to talk about playing for any other teams because I'm on this team and we need to win. You know, like I forgot to bring that up that one day, but I was like, damn man, LeBron earned some points even if it's lip service. You know what I mean? Like.
I think ultimately, and I can't speak for you, but I can say for myself, one of the things that really killed LeBron James for me was the Miami Heat. I think if he would have never went to the Heat, put on a parade where they're dancing, talking about 10 championships and making phone calls and getting his boys to get together. You know, he had 10 friends on the same team. Puts this all together, which already bothered me enough, and does the decision with Jim Gray on ESPN, which was an hour special about him talk. I understand he made money for Boys and Girls Club. I get that, and that's awesome. But couldn't you just donated it and just said where you were going? Like, why, you know, kind of a prima donna does that? And then on top of it, think about the Miami run. 4 seasons. He gets slapped by Dirk Nowitzki year 1 when everyone thought they were a lock, and Dirk channeled Michael Jordan that year. Smokes him. You look at year 2, they beat a very young, unchallenged and unproven OKC team. I mean, Harden was still on the team, so we know how good that team really was back then. None of these guys had peaked. And then he splits two series with the Spurs, where if it wasn't for Ray Allen covering his ass when he missed the game winner and Ray Allen gets the game winner for him, that team loses in 6 and they go 1-3 with an OKC victory. That's not
Didn't
impressive.
Mike Miller go nuts one game too.
Yeah. Yeah. God. You know, the Dallas series in 6 games in the finals, he only put up 10 points in 6 fourth quarters. That's like, to me, all that stuff just rude. I don't mind the Cleveland thing. I loved that series when he made the block 2 years ago against Iguodala. That was awesome. I'll give him that. But that Miami thing is really what tarnished him for me, I think. That's where he really went down, and he's having to work his way back up.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
You know, you can't make those accusations and claims and predictions and literally nosedive. I mean, he looked like a kamikaze plane missing its target. Because that was not, you know, some people go, well, he won a ring. Okay, I understand that. And congratulations, you did win the ring. But to me, it's still a fail when you're bragging about 7 titles, 8 titles, 9 titles, and you're doing a parade about free agency, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And you literally get 2-1 you didn't even really have a part in winning. That's just that you can't do that and then have that result. If they would have went 4-0, I would have said, damn. Well, then he called his shot. But
yeah. Yeah, could you imagine, like, I mean, here's the thing, though. LeBron James has been in how many finals in a row?
7.
Like, that in itself is amazing.
Yeah.
Period. Because not only did he go there with the Heat, but he went back to Cleveland and went there again. That's ridiculous. You don't see that. I mean, it's kind of a special feat when you look at the, I'll say the Michael Jordan era. I mean, even though they were, when he came back, they were an Eastern Conference final away from being in the finals again. But I agree with what you're saying. I want him to do well. I hate him for the same reasons you hate him. I think there's a lot of really weird business decisions that he made along the way, but I cannot deny his ability, and I still won't. You know, those fourth quarter stats, you know, but at the same time, look at how you set it up, the, you know, last season, the fourth quarter, you know, the block. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It was a big deal. It was definitely a big deal.
Yeah, he grew up after those Miami games, and I've respected him for that. And I feel like the time's over. I feel like he did his due diligence. He went back and won a title for his city. I give him that. Now you got to do the next business move. You know, I nail that home every time. But when I go back to the original point of, you know, why are more people not talking about this and accepting that what might be the obvious, you know, the Brian Windhorses, you know, people like that, the Dave McMenamins on there, the Ramona Shelburns, the Rachel Nichols, you know, all these people, I don't know what he's going to do. Deep down, I will never forget that clip I played. I believe you were on Sportscast. I believe this was after Elijah. But where Jeff Katz on ESPN LA was on Mason Ireland, and he was co-hosting with John Ireland, the Lakers play-by-play, and he went at Windhorse, basically saying that, you know, it's bullcrap that you didn't know if you cover LeBron that hard that he was going to Miami, and he was laying out facts about how Miami was trying to trademark the NWO so they could have NWO Miami Heat shirts for the parade. And Windhorse is like, man, dude, brother, if you believe that, you're an idiot. And like was completely ignoring all of it. And he's like, I don't know what else I have to tell you. I worked for the company. I worked for the WWE before I went back to New Line. There was evidence that Rich Paul called me and said, this is what we want to get made. What else do you want me to tell you? You're, if you believe that, you're stupid. And like Windhorse is getting like, you know, making ad hominis attacks and getting personal with Katz. And I'm like, this is the truth though. He calculates his moves 10 moves in advance. And by year over the last 2 years here, moving every entity he has in his life to LA, I just don't see how he doesn't end up there. And once again, if anybody wants to call and say it, just wait, don't waste your time. He's not going to the Clippers. It's not good. There's no way it's gonna look. If he goes to the LA Clippers, I will stop doing Sportscast Radio because I'll be that sick of. I'll be that mad. and annoyed.
Imagine this, though. Imagine he takes Cleveland to the promised land and then gets the Clippers to hang their first real banner.
Oh, God. Oh, why didn't you tell me you were doing that, George? George just had a spit take. We should have known he would do that. I'll just set it up better.
Hey, I embrace it, all right? All right? I got my red and blue on. All right.
You're gonna get out with Chuck the Condor?
My Clipper colored Kia. All right. Circa Blake Griffin dunk contest. All right, we got this.
The Clippers are so bad. He's never going. You know when Blake Griffin signed that 5-year $171 million contract with the Clippers?
Yeah.
When he came to the building and went to the locker room for it, they had an orchestra in there to sing to him. Like that's as bad as Chuck the Condor. Why do they have a mascot named Chuck the Condor? What does that have to do with anything?
Because it's California. California Condors, man.
Oh, the Clippers. And that's something. The Clippers just make me irritated. You know, as somebody who was such a big Chris Paul fan. No, I know you do.
It's the Los Angeles Lakers, man. The Lakers? They're from Minnesota.
Hell yeah, that's why they're our team.
I get that, but still, like, you know, I don't dog Chuck the Condor, all right? And
have
then
you
the Clippers
seen
name.
Chuck the Condor?
Hey, he's not as bad as that Pelican, the first Pelican, or the baby they use.
You know what I like is the inflatable Chicago Bull that, like, eats the people.
Oh, yeah. I like the – who does that? Doesn't Houston do that joint?
They might.
I know the Titans mascot does it.
Where he, like, eats them?
Yeah, that's tight.
all NHL mascots ever do, like the – I can't remember the name of the Calgary Flames, like, cougar or whatever the hell it is. But he'll just walk across, like tightrope across like the penalty box, then he'll fall and crotch it. Everyone's like, ha 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 ha. That's all he ever does. I don't know why that came.
He's got one move.
that's why Jerome again left Calgary.
Oh,
like
damn.
The hell with this.
Dang.
He wrote chocolate buzzsaw out and threw like a paper airplane at the coach's head.
Oh man. That's my guy.
Joe McGillis.
I still contend we should have signed him.
Yeah, why not? He would have been awesome. Wild need to make a move right now. You know, trade deadline is February 26th. This team is in need of some scoring.
Speaking of moves, did you see the and LA? Did you see the trade?
No.
We got Dion Phaneuf and Nate Thompson heading to LA.
What?
And then we got Marion Gaborik and Nick Shore going to Ottawa.
What? I'm pulling up right now. Dion Phaneuf and Nate Thompson go to the Sens for Gaborik and Shore. Wow.
Yep.
That's a wild trade. I know Gaborik was just not gelling with that team. I am surprised that Ottawa was willing to move Phaneuf. I think he was wearing an assistant patch for a little bit, and he was on the top line, I thought, with Erik Karlsson. But, I mean, now it gives Ottawa another scorer. What else?
The other piece of that bit is they're still paying 25% of Phaneuf's salary.
He's making bank. He's making that was one of the – he got overpaid by Toronto. Shout out to the Wild, though. We did win 3-2 against the New York Rangers. Parisi got his third of the year. Foligno scored, but then this has been the problem. We go up 3-0, and then we let up 2 unanswered and almost blow the game. We were up 3-0 against the Arizona Coyotes, one of the worst teams in the league, and we let up 4 goals and blew it in an overtime loss. The Wild, I don't know if they're going back to. I'm looking at. Actually, I was wrong. Arizona is the worst team in the league. They have 14 wins.
Nice.
I don't know if it's one of those things where the Wild are doing what they used to do under Jacques Lemaire, where they get a big lead and then they just try to sit on the lead and wear them out and waste the clock, or what they're doing. But
I don't remember that many big leads under Jacques, but that's just me.
Jacques would always, we'd get up 2-0, 3-0. And it was so, maybe not even Jacques, but you definitely Todd Richards.
Yeah.
Todd Richards for sure. And who is the guy, right? Who am I thinking of after Todd Richards, before Boudreaux?
The guy coaching the Blues right now?
Oh, yeah, isn't that, what's Mike Yeo?
Mike Yeo.
Mike Yeo. Yeah. There we go. Yeo would always get a nice lead, and then we'd just sit on it, and then we'd just watch. There was a game where we were up 3-0 against, I think, Nashville, and Nashville scored 4 goals in 5 minutes and beat us.
Nashville's sitting on top of the Western Conference right now.
Yeah, Vegas finally losing that pigeonhole to the number one spot.
Points on the nine of the last 10 games for them. They've won 6, 3 overtime, 3 overtimes, and 1 actual loss.
That is a 15-point swing in 10 games. Wild still got a 3-point lead over the Kings and the Ducks for the second wild card spot. I'm hoping that if the Wild get the number, get a wild card spot, and they don't end up in the division, I would love it if they could sneak in and play Winnipeg in the first round. St. Louis always scares me. St. Louis always beats us. They got 3 games in hand on us. If we can take those 3 games and turn them into wins, we have a 2-point lead on St. Louis. That means we play Winnipeg in the first round. And I know Winnipeg is off to a great start and they're playing really well, but they have never seen playoffs. And I am not scared of Winnipeg, and I'm not scared of Vegas.
I'm scared of both those teams for the exact opposite reason that you just claimed, because they haven't had that playoff experience in a long time. Fans are going to be rowdy. They're going to be amped. And those games where they go up to Winnipeg, granted, they'll be short travels. I mean, hell, they could save a little money and charter a bus if they wanted to. Winnipeg scares me for that exact reason. That's a tough ticket. That's a hockey town, and the fans will be there. They will be amped. Golden Knights, they've been embraced by that Las Vegas town. I've talked to some people when they're in town here, and they're like, "Yep, one of the coolest things. All the locals are going. It's not just a bunch of randos going out there. Like it's legit, man." And I wouldn't want to see either one of them, especially if we don't have home.
Yeah, that's the one thing though. If you look at the Vegas Knights and you look at their home record as opposed to their away record at home, Nick Hagberg, I don't know if he's right or not on this, but he truly thinks that the reason the Vegas Knights are so good at home is you get all these young kids who come into town and they're out all night. And then they got to play hockey the next day. They're not rested, and that's why they're not looking good on the road.
Come on,
teams going into Vegas.
These are grown men with bed checks. All right, like I've been a team hotel before. Like they got curfews. Yeah, it's Vegas. If they have an extra day exit, they might get a little play time. But like that night, it's still business. They might be able to hit the tables during the day or whatever, but I guarantee you, they're not sauced up going to bed. And if they are, they wouldn't be playing if it was me. As far as you want to talk about, obviously that's their home record. But the fact of the matter is, they only have 15 losses, man.
Yeah,
I mean they're playing good everywhere.
Yeah, what do you have their home and away record by chance?
No, I don't. But you give me a hot second, I can probably make that happen.
Because that's the one thing. Even they were talking about how the Lakers are finishing up their road trip against the Pelicans on Wednesday, and they abruptly got flown home back to LA and they didn't go back to Philly or to New Orleans until today. And usually, you know, you always just go town to town and you stay in the town. Well, the same semi-reason you could say that a lot of, like, with Hagberg's argument about Vegas is, it was Mardi Gras. And Magic and Palenka didn't want their players out there. They didn't want them out there to get, you know, because it was Mardi Gras. So they're gonna risk coming in and not getting a ton of sleep because they're nervous that their players are going to be out all night. I mean, I understand curfew and bed checks, but in a regular season game like this in January or February, I don't think these teams are as strict as it seems. This isn't the NFL. You know, these are 82 games. You see these the NFL guys or the MLB guys that they're 162. You know, they're 81 on the road. These guys are going out all the time.
The let's see. No, that's updated. They're still, what is that, six games above 500 on the road. They're 17.
So they're still playing well.
They're 17-11 on the road.
Yeah, and look, all you want from a team is to be 500 on the road.
Yeah,
if my team is, yeah, so they're doing okay. The only other thing I wonder is how long until reality hits for this team.
Well, we won't know because they're. I mean, at this point, they're all but a shoo-in for the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think there's any way they're not making the playoffs. I just wonder how long until, you know, like come March, do they hit a slump?
I think they're right high. Being a gambler, oh my god, being the gambling man that I am, I'd bet the Knights every game rather see them slump.
Speaking of how big of a gambling man you are, how bad should we have bet on the Knights when they were 250-1 when we were in Vegas to win the Cup? 250-1. We should have just threw a 20 on it.
Yep.
I looked at that list and laughed, and I was like, well, Vancouver's lower than them.
You know, it's funny when I look at that, too, because they, like, even on paper, they put together a good team. Like, even, you know, before, like, on paper, their team was, like, if they could, I mean, nobody knew they were going to play as good as they were doing, but, like, but holy cow, man. Like, I don't know. They've already set the record for most wins for an expansion team.
Well, they set that like 2 weeks ago.
I know. I mean, like
two, 3 weeks ago, which is crazy.
Yeah. There's just no way. Nobody knew that. But on paper, they had a good team. But it's hard to bet something like that because it's an expansion team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I base it off of, you know, when you were like, I'm putting $20 on the Titans. You know.
Yeah.
Knew it was a reach.
Yeah.
Like, damn, should have done it on the Knights. But I think that's a test to how good the NHL really is, and people just don't realize how good of a product it is when you have teams trading draft picks to Vegas to not take certain players in the expansion draft because they can't protect enough people because they have so many guys in their team they don't want to lose.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
And they build this team together off an expansion draft. I mean, you look at the Wild when they built their team. It was Antti Laaksonen and Maxim Shushinsky and Darby Hendrickson and Richard Park. Like, yeah, they're fine role players and we did okay with them. But, you know, I mean, never in a million years were they like players like James Neal and Marc-Andre Fleury and Jonathan Marchessault and guys like that. You know, they're getting great players because teams couldn't get, you know, you look at Nashville, they go to the Stanley Cup and they had to get rid of James Neal because they needed the money and they had so many good players. You know, that dude comes in and he's tearing it up. And they all play well together. They have a smart ownership group, smart front office. It shows that in the NHL right now, you can sustain with an expansion team. And I look at teams like Winnipeg as an example who are still trying to catch up from when they were the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a struggle for them. And Vegas just, you know, they came in at the right time where there was so much talent.
Yeah. Speaking of expansions, did you see the news?
Yes, Seattle apparently is officially put in their application to get their own NHL expansion team.
What do you think if a deal can get done for a new arena that is both basketball and hockey friendly, do they get both teams or do they get one then the other?
Oh, they already have the new arena. The new arena's been built for a couple of years. That's why everybody thought, who's that guy who looks like Bob Dole that bought the Clippers? Yeah.
Bob Dole. I think you just confused like four or five, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah. Steve Ballmer. Who's the guy who went, yeah.
They approved a new arena for 2020. Is that what it is? Cause that's what we have here.
Yeah, the goal is for the new franchise to enter the season in 2020. But I thought the stadium had already been built.
No. According to – this is December 4th. They approved a new arena for 2020.
Okay. And then that's – and the NHL team would their goal is to enter in 2020 as well. So they would enter when the stadium's built. They'd be the 32nd team. It would be an East Coast team, so it would balance with the – see, that's the hard part is who do they move to the East? Because this has got to be a West Coast team. Then again, I think the East already has 16 teams anyway. Yeah, they already have 16 teams anyway. So this has basically been set up, it feels like, to fill the other two spots that the West didn't have.
Hmm.
But that's – you know, everybody thought Ballmer was going to move the Clippers to Seattle for this reason too.
No, there's no, you don't take anything out of it. If you got LA property, you're not moving LA property.
Yeah. But that dude could throw like $100,000 on the ground and blow his nose on it and not care.
That's true. But at the same time, you know, it's still, I mean, it's LA property. It's Beverly Hills. It's Hollywood. It's all right. We ain't talking Starbucks and Fisherman's Wharf here. All right. We're talking, you know, we're not talking the needle. We're talking the Hollywood sign. Like, you know, you're talking Billy Crystal, not Fraser Crane. All right, let's keep it 100. I just lost Ryan Cook.
No, I'm here. I'm just getting into a scuffle.
Oh, gotcha.
So I'm here. Sorry. Say that again.
I'm just saying, like, it's LA versus Seattle. There's no way he's moving that up there. There would have been no way, because you're not going to take away something from Los Angeles, and I'm assuming there would have been some sort of crazy exit fee, but then you know, to move to Seattle, like you can have Hollywood or you can have Starbucks, you know what I mean? You can have Billy Crystal or you can have you know, the Frasier TV theme song. You know, the Space Needle. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. There's no way he was moving that team.
So do you think this lines up a chance for the NBA to put a team there too? Because the NBA, you know, it's 29 teams. They could use the 30th, balance it out.
I think so. I think it wants to be done. You know, they're still calling it Sonics Arena, or at least SonicsArena.com is what the website is, and you know, Key Arena is what it is. It looks like it's going to be a renovation that's going to be at the arena there. It's a $660 million renovation they're putting in, is what I'm reading.
Yeah, just at the Key, because I mean the Key's not a bad arena at all, from what I've heard.
No, I know.
Yeah, the Oak Valley Group to move forward with a $600 million remodeling of Key Arena, paving the way for potential NBA and NHL franchises. Says the NHL has long coveted Seattle, but the city never had a singular ownership group or arena which hindered its chances until now. Which says that Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin said she has had talks with the Oakview Group about possibly bringing an NBA team to Seattle as well. I want to make sure whatever deal we negotiate on the arena will enhance the ability to get basketball and not deter it. I think we can do it. Here's the kicker why I think it works. You know, Tim Leiwicki, most people should know, he was a big executive for the Kings and the Maple Leafs, the Kings Cup winning times and the Maple Leafs resurgence. But the Oak Valley Group is led by investment banker David Bonderman, Tim Leiwicki, and Jerry Bruckheimer. So they have a lot of money backing this.
Dang, could you imagine that opening that produced that video vignette produced by Jerry Bruckheimer?
Man, right. dun 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 dun.
Explosions. Oh man. You got anything?
I mean, that was a lot of where I was kind of going. I think next week we'll be really getting into the meat potatoes of the NHL trade deadline, so that might be worth kind of diving into. But no, I mean, it's been a really light week, and you know, I mean, we didn't think we were going to come with a lot tonight anyway. So
how about a quick MVP maybe before we sign off?
Oh, let me go drop your MVP. I have to Google the name so I have the correct pronunciation.
Why don't you play our sounder if we're going to play some MVP action?
I can definitely do that. It's right here.
All right.
Yeah.
So obviously, Olympics in full go there in Pyeongchang, South Korea. A big shout out to the USA snowboard team, who actually kind of got us our first gold to kick off the Winter Olympics. Big shout out to 17-year-old Chloe Kim, who's going to be my MVP. Knocked out and got gold in the half pipe. I watched her nail back-to-back 1080s, followed it by a 900. This chick was legit, bro. I was like, man, I need a new video game now. I don't think I've played a snowboarding video game since Nintendo 64. So I went with Chloe Kim on the cover. So shout outs to, again, her for kind of living the dream there and getting it done.
I wanted to talk about Elena Zagatov, a figure skater from Russia. She's only 15, and she literally dominated when she came out there on Sunday night. I cannot remember her name. The woman from the U.S. hits the first triple axel in U.S. history for the women, third overall ever for the women. Puts up like a 137.39, locking herself in the gold medal until she showed up. Drops a 157, an almost perfect score. Did not get one, like if you look on the screen, every time they kind of botch, they'll get a yellow circle instead of a green one. This was green being across the entire board. I was marveled sitting there watching this. I couldn't believe it. Was one of the best figure skating performances I have ever seen in my life. And I say that as somebody who actually enjoys every 4 years watching the figure skating. And honestly, the female over the males, because I just feel like they're much better at doing it. And if you haven't seen it, go out of your way to watch her long skate routine. It is about 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes, and it was amazing. I've never seen some of the things that she had done were like, it was incredible. It was just so good.
Did you cry?
No. No, and to top it off, instead of crying like most of the women do after they, you know, get their scores and everything, she did like a raging fist pound, like, oh! I was like, yeah!
Nice. I think that's a good way to go out. Oh, my God.
we'll be better next week, y'all. We promise. It's just been a rough week. I mean, it is what it is. Otherwise, it's going to be me talking Lakers for 2 hours. Not even Jordan wants to hear that. So we don't need to do that. But I'll tell you what, next week we may have some more. But next week we are going to talk them. I know we were going to discuss, you know, how excited are you for the All-Star weekend this weekend. And we didn't really get to that. And we don't need to. But I want to talk the stuff next weekend, because next week starts year four of this. The 3-year anniversary technically is on Thursday of the first ever sportscast. It was February 15th, 2015. So, this, you know, this is
technically.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We're 4 years old now. So we got to talk that because that was the basis of the first 24 minute Sniffle Fest. So we'll talk that. We'll have some other good stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. So we'll talk that dunk contest, three-point shootout, all-star game. We'll have some closer to the trade deadline for the NHL. Maybe kind of preview what teams should be doing on, you know, other random banter as we see fit. But we'll catch you next week. Hopefully we can do a maybe we'll try to go 9 p.m. next week, 9 or 10 or something. But we'll have a more concrete time than like 10:04 when we showed up today. Or 10:14 or something.
God, I'm glad we don't have somebody over us because we'd get a write up or something.
Yeah, that ain't happening on this show though. Thank y'all for listening. Peace.